Hi everyone, thank you very much for coming. The idea for this talk sort of came about at the CDXC dinner back in the spring when Mike, who's MVJR, and myself were discussing some technical aspects of the internet, and we decided that this would potentially make an HFC talk. Since then, both of us have been doing bits of work, and there's some other work as well that's been going on. I suspect a lot of you aren't quite sure what I'm going to be talking about. The title was left deliberately vague because there's so many different aspects to the topic. So in the first sort of half, I'm going to be talking about some of the big Web 2.0 social networking services which you might have heard about: YouTube, Flickr, Facebook, and a few others as well, with the aim of just showing you how ham radio has a presence on all of those. And I'll be asking a few questions. What do you think, whether you think it's possible to leverage these to promote amateur radio in any way or to help in our hobby amongst ourselves? What is Web 2.0? Okay, you didn't have to read all that. I'm not expecting you to. Web 2.0 has been described on the great Web 2.0 resource Wikipedia as being a living term describing changing trends in the use of the World Wide Web technology and web design, which aims to enhance creativity and information sharing, collaboration, and the functionality of the web. And Web 2.0 concepts have led to the development and evolution of web-based communities and hosted services, so-called social networking sites, things like video sharing, wikis which anyone can edit, blogs, etc. Although the term suggested there's a new World Wide Web, it doesn't mean that at all. There's no change to the technical specifications or anything. It's just the way that we're using it and how you guys use it as well. So that's what we mean by Web 2.0. And probably the best way to explain it is to think about what the original web, the traditional web, has always been like. Had a website which had text information on it, and when you requested that information, it just thrown it out to you, formatted as the web designer wanted it to be formatted, and without any form of structure indicating what the actual information means so the computer can understand, and then it's just displayed on your screen. But it's very difficult to reuse it, and you can't really interact in that sort of with that sort of website. What Web 2.0 really is about is participation. So users participate in creating the website itself. As a result, the experience is very personalized to the individual. The information that comes back from the website, although it might look like any other website on your screen, will typically be structured using a principle we call XML, which I can go into in more detail in the second half, so that the computer can understand the information. And so what you see is a rich personalised experience, but more crucially, we can have multiple servers all over the web which are all inputting their information into what we call an API, an application programming interface. So what you see is the combination of information from multiple websites potentially all coming together on your screen. And obviously this has great potential in terms of integration. So a few examples sort of from the real world. Twitter is, I think it was mentioned by Tim G4BXE in his Rackcom column this month. Mentioned the fact it had a QSO thanks to one of Pete's tweets here. Twitter is basically the idea that you send a short message limited to 140 characters via any device that has internet connectivity, mobile phone or text message as well, and you just send it to Twitter, and then all of your people who follow you, your friends in other words, will then see that message coming back. So they will then see what you tweeted. We can also use tagging to indicate what the message is actually about, and that message will then potentially be forwarded to other interested parties. So, purely by convention rather than any standard or anything, things relating to amateur radio tend to have this slash ham R on the end. You send a tweet with slash ham R on the end, and anybody who follows the concept of the ham R tag can then get...
It's a hash.
Yes, it's a hash. Let's say hash. Hash ham R will then receive that tweet. So, a few examples there from a few weeks ago. Anyone have any ideas for an HF antenna in a smaller apartment? You can throw out messages like this, and then anyone who sees that tweet can come back to you with some ideas. We have a look at some examples that have happened over this weekend. MVJFM are getting ready to leave for HFC. Magic Bug just woke up, still alive, slightly hungover, waiting for Gadget 17 to wash and get to breakfast. Has breakfast, waiting for the lecture to start. First up is Joys of Contesting by Shizero NTN. And Voice M0RHI, who isn't here this weekend, say about the talk about antennas, you should have run a sweepstake on how many times they say DVI. Okay, this is a form of social interaction. Probably none of you have been aware this has been going on in the background this weekend. But we have all been sending messages to each other and keeping up to date with what's been going on in the background. Some of this is a bit trivial, yes. One of the problems with Twitter is that you can get an awful lot of very trivial messages, and you sort of mentally filter them out. Another example is Flickr, which is a photo sharing website. Anyone can upload photos to it, and again, there is you can sort of tag them as being about ham radio, and then you can do a search and find photos of ham radio. Many of these have actually been released under Creative Commons licenses rather than fully copyrighted, so that if you want to reuse for non-commercial purposes any photos about ham radio on Flickr, just check the photo, but the vast majority of them you can reuse without permission. And there's also a ham radio group to share all this as well. Likewise, YouTube has become rather infamous for being teenagers singing in their bedrooms very badly, lip-syncing. Not only that, there are lots and lots of videos of QSOs out there, so people sort of showing off their many million mile QSOs on 160 metres that they've made. Interesting to see. Lots and lots of how-to videos as well, which are very interesting. One particular one stands out in my memory I've seen of somebody showing how you can use a handheld linked to a basic 2 meter and 70 centimeter beams on a camera tripod to swing it around and working satellites on VHF just using that basic equipment. And being able to see it in a video makes it so much more clear obviously than reading in a book. K7AGE is probably the most prolific of the amateur radio operators who are regularly uploading these how-to videos. He's got over 1,600 subscribers, people who watch his videos on a regular basis, so that gives an indication as to how sizable the amateur community is on YouTube. And again, you just do a search for ham radio to find all this stuff. I'm not going to say too much about Delicious. Delicious is a website basically where you can share recommendations for other websites to look at. So if you find an interesting page somewhere on the web, you can share it with all your friends. And again, there are about 8,700 sites that have so far been tagged with ham radio. You can see some of them there, amateur radio antenna projects, pushcraft antennas, ham radio packet, TCPIP. So you can find other resources which other people have found useful using this. And Facebook. There are currently, when I checked 2 weeks ago, there were 163 groups about ham radio on Facebook, even an RSGB group among them. I have to ask, what do they do? A lot of the groups I'm involved joined on Facebook sort of sit in dormant and it's just a badge that you're in the group. So I think there's probably some questions to be asked as to what the point is. And if anyone has any ideas as to how we can actually use a ham radio group on Facebook, then please tell me. So, as I said, that's the sort of the personalised aspect of it, and the sharing content. But as I said, if we have multiple websites all contributing data, we can mash them together and create something very rich for the end user. So let's imagine, of course, the expedition, which doesn't necessarily know quite where it's going to be on any given day, or the plans are a bit vague. They can use Twitter to indicate where they are and what they're doing at any given time. Finding within major mobile phone coverage, you can have a message broadcast to the whole amateur community within seconds. Photographs of it on a photo sharing website. Again, if you've got a GPRS phone, you can have photographs sent from your phone within a few seconds and available to everyone. YouTube videos, maybe even a vlog, a video diary of the expedition, and say a GPS trace showing where you were at any given time. If we imagine all that mashed together, obviously we could create a very, very interesting The Expedition website that's very useful to the people who are following the progress of the expedition. And I did a little experiment when I was with Martin and Mike and a few other people in August. I tried this. So, Google Earth photograph, unfortunately a bit dark, this is Iceland. We arrived in the portage of Dalvik on the north coast, and this blue line here is the GPS trace from the car. So that was actually our route. And as soon as we got to the campsite there, I sent a tweet to Twitter saying that we've just driven 550 kilometres from Geysir and we're getting the 9 a.m. boat to the island tomorrow morning. And that little string there is a latitude and longitude, so that people could immediately find out exactly which campsite we were staying at in Dalvik. Then that evening, recorded a video diary. I'm not going to play it, but it's on YouTube. But the crucial thing is, because that content has been referenced both in time and place, it can be then linked together with other stuff from the web. So, have a weather forecast. It wasn't raining when we were there, actually. A photograph on Flickr of the church in Dalvik, and the Wikipedia article from Dalvik. Because Wikipedia knows where Dalvik is because it's been referenced with latitude and longitude. It knows where the church is because that's got latitude and longitude. I've sent my tweet with latitude and longitude. This can all be grouped together automatically over the web. Another example of this is something we're doing on the IOTA website. You can click a link, see activation videos. The IOTA website then flips over, makes a transparent user request to YouTube for activation videos about IOTA things. YouTube sends back to the IOTA server a list of those, and then we can just immediately display within the IOTA website a list of the expedition videos that's recently been on YouTube.